All right, so both say good morning. So first, I want to give a special welcome to Chaim Nachman, who I believe is joining us from the airport in Europe on his way to Eretz Yisrael. It's just amazing if you think about the times in which we live. You know, it's a little bit scary because after 120, when we go up, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to ask us, you know, we had so many opportunities at our fingertips, everything. It's just amazing what we could do today. So, quite amazing. So, welcome to Rav Chaim. And also, the our learning, I have to mention this more regularly, our learning is sponsored really the entire month by David Kahana, in memory of his father-in-law, Zev Ben Shlomo. And we thank him for his... We thank him for his sponsorship, and we hope that the neshama has an aliyah, and also that we dedicate our learning for this chus of a refuah shlema for Rabbi Sonnenschein's mother, who Nebuch is very ill. Rabbi Sonnenschein is there now in Montreal, and also in this chus for Hananya Lasker's mother. Hananya just flew back to the States last night because his mother Nebuch is very ill in Philadelphia, and we dedicate our learning for both of their refuah shlema. They should have a refuah shlema b'karov. I'm sorry? He's in Frankfurt. Frankfurt, Maryland? Or is that all right, Joel, so let's begin. So we left off yesterday. We have a lot to do today, and we're in a little bit of a restricted time frame today. But all right, we'll do the best that we can. So if you remember again, we left off yesterday in the sugya that Menashe, the Gemara said that in that Megillas Yuchsin that they found in Yerushalayim. So one, in addition to the Yichus ramifications that Megillah had, they also found that Megillas Yuchsin that Menashe had executed the prophet Yeshayah. That Menashe had executed the prophet Yeshayah, and the Gemara explained that the reason Menashe had executed the prophet Yeshayah was because Menashe claimed that Yeshayah was a Navi Sheker, that Yeshayah was a false prophet. And Menashe pointed out three different places in which the prophecy of Yeshayahu, in which the prophecy of Yeshayahu was Maftir. The prophecy of Yeshayahu was clearly flawed, So we went through two of those examples yesterday. Now the Gemara goes through the third. So we left off. Dear Shua Shem Himatzo, thank you. So we are now up to 2, 4, 6 lines up from the bottom. Last word on the line, the sixth to last line. So remember again, one of the contradictions was that Moshe Rabbeinu said, Mika Hashem Elokeinu b'chol kareinu elav, who is like our God, who is close to us whenever we call out to Him, which seems to indicate what? That whenever we want to call out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ultimately we are able to connect to Him, versus Yeshayah, who said, Dershu Hashem b'himatzo, seek out God when He is available, when He is accessible to you. Which sounds like a Kodesh Baruch Hu is not always accessible. So Moshe says God is always accessible. Yeshayahu says God is not always accessible. So which one is it? To which the Gemara says it's not a contradiction. Habiyachid habitzibor. Rabbi says a very profound Gemara. That one is talking about an individual, one is talking about the tzibor. Meaning what? That when Moshe Rabbeinu was said, Mikashim al-Kinim b'chol karinu alav, that God is always accessible, that's to the congregation. That's the collective. Whenever we come before our Kodesh Baruch Hu as a collective, the Ribono Shel Olam is always open and receptive to our overtures. However, if I'm coming before God as an individual, then there are times when God is receptive, times when God is not as receptive. So the Gemara says, for example, V'yachid Emas, when can an individual approach God and know that the Ribono Shel Olam is absolutely, unequivocally receptive? To which the Gemara says, Elu Asar Yamim Shebein Rosh Hashanah LeYom HaKippurim. This refers to the 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, Aseres Yemei Tshuva. That they're both saying, whereas normally, it is most beneficial to us to approach God as a collective, but Aseres Yemei Tshuva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes Himself even more accessible to us, that even as Yachid, even as an individual, I can still access Him. I want to be clear. A person could always connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara is not saying over here that as a Yachid, I can't connect with God. What the Gemara is just saying is that in general, again, the Koach HaTfila is greatest when we come together as a Tzibor. It's just that, thank you, it's just that there are times, thank you very much, it's just that there are times under normal circumstances, when I come together as a collective, that's when it's strongest. But there are times when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so available, so accessible, that even as a yochid, I can accomplish what normally could only be accomplished by a tzibur. When is that time when even the individual has greatest access to God? Aser simei tshuva. So the Gemara says, as mispar yamecha amale. So remember again, the last machlokes was this idea, bispar yamecha amale. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, I will complete the years of your life. And which means what? That Moshe Rabbeinu seems to be saying is, whatever years you get, you get. And the Ribbono Shel Olam does not add on years to the lifespan of an individual. Versus Yeshayahu, who said, Vosafti al yamecha chamesh shana. What is that passage talking about? Remember I quoted to you yesterday the story of Chizkiyahu and Yeshayahu. So when Chizkiyahu is about to die, Yeshayahu says that as a result of Chizkiyahu's tshuva, God is going to add on 15 years to Chizkiyahu's life. So which one is it? Moshe Rabbeinu seems to indicate that God doesn't add on years to someone's life, but yet you have Yeshayahu saying to Chizkiyahu, I'm going to add on 15 years to your life. So which one is it? To which the Gemara says, it's not a kasha, tenaihi, it's a machlokes. This sanya, because we learned in a braisa, es mispar yamecha amale, when the pasuk says, I will fill out, I will complete the years of your life. I will complete the years of your life, which Rabbi Osei sounds like what? Top of nun, elu shnei doros. Rabbi Osei, this refers literally to the years of the generation. Now, if you look at Rashi says shnei doros, shanim sheposkim la'adam b'shas le'daso. This refers to the years that God gives an individual at the time that he is born. So what happens? Zocha mashlimen lo. If a person is zocha, if a person is righteous, he lives out those years. Lo zocha, if a person is not righteous. Poch sinlo, ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu detracts from those years. Divrei Rabbi Akiva, these are the words of Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva holds lemaisa again, there's a certain preordained amount of years that you're given when you're born. If you're righteous, you get those years. If I'm not righteous, I don't get those years. Vecham necham say, Zacha mosifenlo. If a person is privileged, he goes ahead and he gets years added onto that. Lo zacha, if you're not righteous, then ultimately we detract from those years. Amru lo Rabbi Akiva. So the rabbis, the chacham said to Rabbi Akiva, Harehu Omer v'hosafti ayamecha chamesh esrei shana. So we'll say, remember that. So the chachamim are of the opinion that if you're righteous, you can get years added on to the preordained years of your life. And their proof to that is that Yeshayahu says to Chizkiyo, I'm going to add on, I being God, I'm going to add on 15 years to your life. So that's a clear raya that if a person is righteous, they can get years added on to their life. Amar Lahem, Rabbi Akiva responds, Mishaloho Sifulo. Rabbi Akiva says, no, you're misunderstanding. When Yeshayahu says that Chizkiyahu is going to have another 15 years, another 15 years means what? Those were years that were already going to be his, but that he was going to lose as a result of his quote-unquote sinful behavior. Remember, his sinful behavior is that he decided never to marry and try to have children. That was the extent of his sinful behavior. So those 15 years of Rabbi Akiva were his. They were his, but he was going to lose them. So when Yeshayahu says, I'm going to add on 15 years of your life, what he really means is what? I'm going to give you back the 15 years that you stood to lose. Shahare Navi Omer, Shahare Navi Omeid, Umisnavi, because the proof to that is that the Navi is standing there. It's, first of all, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, Mishaloho Sifulo, Ela Shemetchila Hayurotzim Lifchos Mishnav. So ultimately, again, they added back the years that he was going to have. Rashi says Teda Shemetchila Kishnola Nifsukulo Kol Osa Tosefes. So how do we know that again? Chizkiyahu was destined. Originally, he was given those additional 15 years. Shahari Navi Omeid Umisnave. The Navi stands and he says the following: Hine Ben Nolad. Hine Ben Nolad. This is in Navi Malachim. So Hine Ben Nolad LeBeis David. There is going to be a son that is going to be born to the house of David. Yoshiyahu Shmo, and his son is Yoshiyahu. Now, Bosai, understand, Yoshiyahu was the son of King Menasheh, the grandson of Chizkiyahu. So the prophet already stands there and says that a son is going to be born to Yoshiyahu. Va'adayin lo nolad Menasheh. Now, both sides. So what the Gemara is suggesting is like this. If the prophet's already prophesizing that there's going to be a boy named Yoshiyahu, now Yoshiyahu is the son of Menasheh. Menasheh is the son of Chizkiyahu. And what Chizkiyahu is, and again, Chizkiyahu has not yet had a child. So the fact, says Rabbi Akiva, that the Navi is prophesizing about that indicates that what? That Chizkiyahu is going to have a kid. Chizkiyahu is going to have a son, and ultimately, which that has to mean that then Chizkiyahu is going to get those 15 years back. That's a proof to the fact that those 15 years were already part of Chizkiyahu's preordained lifespan. It's just that he was going to lose them as a result of his behavior. For Rabbanan, the rabbis will say, so we'll say this is Rabbi Akiva's proof that Chizkiyahu is not getting additional years. Chizkiyahu is just getting the 15 years that were supposed to be his from the time that he was born. So what do the rabbis say about that? Rabbanan, does it say that Yoshio is going to be born to Chizkiyahu? Imi Chizkiyahu nolad, imi in a shachrina. I will say, all the Navi says is that what? Is that there's going to be a Yoshio that is born from the house of David. Does it have to be from Chizkiyahu? Who says it has to be from Chizkiyahu? Meaning that Rabbanan will say, had Chizkiyahu not done Shuvah, so the Maisek again, he would have died. And at the end of the day, Yoshio would have been born from some other way, from some other part of the house of David. Therefore, again, the Rabbanan say that's not a proof to Rabbi Akiva's position. So what comes out, and I will say again, machlok seem like this, don't really have a resolution, because this is one of those profound life disputes, which again, does God add on years to the life of man, or does God detract? I mean, clearly everybody agrees that God could subtract years from the life of man, should man not be deserving. The shaila is, does he add on years or not? So that seems to be a fundamental machlokus in Rabbi Kiva and the Rabbanan. Rabbi Kiva says God never adds on years. It's just if you're righteous, God will let you live out the years that he ordained for you. If you're not righteous, God will detract that amount. Whereas Rabbanan seem to say that no, there is this concept that although everybody's born with a preordained number of years they're going to live, if I'm righteous, I can actually get years added onto that lifespan. And if I'm not righteous, years can be detracted from that lifespan. Okay, so the Gemara says the following. Isha Shemesa Yivimto Shemesa. Rabbi says, so remember again, the Mishnah quoted multiple repetitious times. That's what? That Lamaisa, again, the prohibition of marrying a wife's sister is only when she is alive. But once she dies, then Lamaisa, a man is permitted to marry his either if he was his widow's sister or his ex-wife's sister. We saw all the variation of cases. Mm-hmm. To which the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yosef, Kan Shana Rebbe Mishnah Sheinat Tzricha. It was very interesting. Rav Yosef says that here, Rebbe taught a Mishnah that was absolutely unnecessary. Why was it unnecessary? Look at Rashi. Mishnah Sheinat Tzricha. Dezil kari beiravhu, b'haravhu ala b'chayeha, shlo ne'esra achosa ala b'chayeha. Well, because the Gemara essentially says, this is one of these halachos that is explicit in the text. That the Torah explicitly tells us that the only time that a wife's sister is prohibited is when the wife is alive. So also, because it's explicit in the text, the truth is, Rebbe did actually not need to include this in the Mishnah, because it's actually one of those rare instances where nobody's arguing. Everybody's in agreement for one simple reason, because it's an often a pasuk, right? It's a clear and explicit verse in the Torah. Hadron Allah HaCholitz. We'll say new parak. Rabbi Gamliel Omer. Rabbi Gamliel says, Ein get achar get, velo ma'amar, velo bi'ila achar bi'ila, velo chalitza achar chalitza. So let's analyze this. Take a look at Rashi. Ein get achar get. Rashi says, what's the case over here? Shtei yivamos la'adam echad mi'ach echad. So here's the case. Reuven dies, leaves behind two widows. Now, of course, let's say there's one surviving brother, Shimon. So what happened? Look at Rashi again. So shtei yivamos la'adam echad, two women waiting for yibum to one man, mi'ach echad, from one brother, meaning one surviving brother, v'nasan get lezu, v'get lezu. So we'll say, let's say again in this case, Shimon, the surviving brother, gives a get, we'll call the two wives Rachel and Leah. He gives a get to Rachel, and he gives a get to Leah. Okay, so what is the halacha? So the Gemara, so Bosei, Rabbi Gamliel says, in get achar get, which means what? Now Bosei, remember, let's play this out. Now, remember, when you give a get to a yavama, so what does that do? What does that do? We've seen this before. So, of course, that does not affect chalitza. You're still going to have to do chalitza. What that does to is it precludes yibum. And not only that, but already it makes you usher in the relatives of the woman to whom you gave the get. Now, the truth is, you're going to be usher to her relatives anyway because she's your chalutza. And we already established before that you are usher to marry your chalutza, meaning after you do chalitza with your brother, your deceased brother's wife, you can't marry her. And you're also usher in her relatives. Now, the shaila is, let's say again, he gave a get to Rachel and he gave a get to Leah also. So the fact that he's going to be usher in Rachel and Rachel's relatives, that I know. The shaila is what? Is he going to be usher in Leah's relatives as well. Now remember again, Rabbi said, let's talk in a normal case, which means what's a normal case? Shimon's surviving brother does chalitza with Rachel. So what's his relationship vis-a-vis Rachel? He can't marry her, and he can't marry her relatives. What's his relationship vis-a-vis Leah? So he can't marry Leah, but what? He is permitted to marry her relatives. So the Shaila now is, he gave a get to both women. Essentially, we're asking, what is the status of the second one? So Rashi says over here again, so v'nasan get lezu, v'get lezu, eino aser bekrovo shnia, he is not aser in the relatives of the second woman, de'ikama ahani, So therefore, Rabbi Gamliel's position is that if you do get achar get, essentially the get that you give to the second woman is absolutely meaningless. Similarly, ma'amar achar ma'amar, that if you went ahead and you did ma'amar for both women, the ma'amar to the second one is absolutely irrelevant. So let's say, you know, what that would mean is if you wanted to go ahead and dissolve now the relationship, you only have to give a get to the first one and not a get to the second one. Similarly, be'ila achar be'ila, look at Rashi, ba'al zu, v'chazer u'ba'hu, O achiv al sarasa. Let's say again, Shimon the surviving brother has relations with Rachel and then has relations with Leah. So the relations with Rachel are effective in that they affect Yibum. The relations with Leah are what? Not effective. They're essentially just an act of znus, an act of immorality. So essentially, according to the Rabbi Gamliel, what comes out is that ein get achar get, ein ma'amar achar ma'amar, ein bia achar bia, velo chalitza achar chalitza. Similarly, what? If you went ahead and you did chalitza with Rachel, and then you went ahead and you did chalitza with Leah, that second chalitza is absolutely meaningless. And I will say, that last case is the most obvious of all of these cases, because l'maisa, we know once you do chalitza with one of the women, essentially the relationship is done. There's nothing more to talk about. So any subsequent chalitza would be irrelevant. On the other hand, chacham the chum say no, yesh get achar get, v'yesh ma'amar achar ma'amar. So they hold there is a get achar get, which Rabosai means what? Which means, well, look at Rashi. Yesh get achar get, dekama lo dacha legamre. Because they will say, when you give a get, according to the Chachamim, when you go ahead and you give a get, right? Well, let's say again, Shimon's surviving brother goes ahead and gives a get to Rachel, and then goes ahead and gives a get to Leah. He says, dekama lo dacha legamre. When Shimon gives a get to Rachel, wife number one, so he has not fully precluded her. Hilchach akati ika pal gazeka. Achat ikapal gazeka, the habaya chalitza, hilchach ahani basra, the havya grushas of asa krevesa. So we'll say, the Chacham will say like this, when you give a get to wife number one, right, or to sister-in-law, to widow number one, so remember, that get does not take care, it's not like that get finishes off the yibum chalitza issue. What's the proof to that? The proof to that is that even after you give Rachel a get, you still have to what? You still have to do chalitza. So because of that, that shows that there's still a connection to wife number two, which means that therefore if he gives her a get, that get is effective. And when we say the get is effective, what does the get do? The get will go ahead and aser him, not just simply in wife number two, but will aser him in what? In the relatives of wife number two as well. Similarly, if you did ma'amar achar ma'amar, you did ma'amar with wife number one, widow number one, and ma'amar with widow number two, that will also be effective. We'll see, Rabbi say, we'll see what effective ultimately means. Avalo achar, however, v'yish ma'amar achar ma'amar, avalo achar bi'ila, v'lo achar chalitza klum. But even the Chachamim agree that once there was bi'a, or once there was chalitza, anything that happens after those acts is absolutely ineffective. Essentially, once you've done yibum or chalitza with woman number one, then by definition, anything you do with woman number two is absolutely halachically ineffective. So the Gemara says, ketzad. Now, both say, this ketzad is a little bit different than a normal ketzad. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says over here, ketzad, lav aplugta koi. So the truth is, both say, this ketzad is not coming to discuss the machlokus between Rabbi Gamliel and the Chachamim. So both say, fundamental dispute between Rabbi Gamliel and the Chachamim in terms of if you do something with wife number one, so what's the impact if you do the same thing with wife number two? I'm calling her wife. She's not. She's the wife of the deceased brother. So that's the machlokis. Now the Gemara says Ketzad. So Rashi says over here, Ketzad is not referring to the machlokis Rabbi Gamliel and the Chachamim. Rather, Ketzad ela milsa ba'an pei nafshehi. This Ketzad is something totally independent and separate. Va'ayavam echad va'ayavam achas koi. Vachi kamrinan Ketzad din yavam v'yavama. So we'll say this case, now the following cases, we're going to deal with one yavam and one yavama. One surviving brother and one widow. So let's see. Asa ma'amar b'yavimto v'nasan laget. So we'll say, let's say again. Now let's keep this a simple case. Reuven dies, leaves behind one wife, Rachel, and one surviving brother, Shimon. So let's say, we'll say, all of these cases are talking about in a situation where there is one yavam and one yavama. And what happens? What happens? Ketzad, asa ma'amar b'yavimto v'nasan laget. Let's say he did ma'amar with his yavama, and then he gave that same woman a get. Okay, so fine. Tzricha hemen chalitza. The get does not seal the deal. He still has to do what? Still chalitza. Rabbi Yossi, remember, we'll discuss ma'amar, but ma'amar essentially is kiddushin. Right now, ma'amar is not biblically effective, but it is rabbinically effective. So once you've done ma'amar, you need a get to undo the ma'amar, but you still what? You still need chalitza to go ahead and undo the zeka, the biblical connection. So again, if he did ma'amar, then he gave her a get. He still have to do chalitza. Similarly, asa ma'amar v'chalitza. If he did ma'amar and then chalitza, still tzricha himen a get. See, I would have thought that once you do chalitza, done, nothing more to talk about. Kamash mala, no. Once you did ma'amar, you still require a get, even if what? Even if he's done chalitza. Asa ma'amar u'ba'al. Let's say he did ma'amar, And then there was Bia. So then the Gemara says, all right, Harizuki mitzvasa. Finally, right? Somebody did something right over here. Right? So that's called Yibam. You know, it's so funny. Right? We never talk about like if somebody actually just does Yibam. Right? We deal with all of the other cases. The Gemara says if he did Ma'amar. Now remember, you don't need to do Ma'amar, but he did Ma'amar. He wants to I don't know why. The case of ma'amar really is only applicable in a situation where, let's say, you have two women and you want to determine who you want to do ma'amar for, or it could be that he wants to buy a little bit of.
Once the brothers, he's trying to get in before the other brother.
Right, except remember, this is only a case of one surviving brother, one, right. So, in a case of where there are multiple wives or there are multiple surviving brothers, ma'amar essentially is how you know. For lack of a better term, plant your flag, right? And say, I am going to go, not very romantic, right? But I am going to ultimately do yibum with this woman. But it could be, it doesn't really matter. He did ma'amar, and then there was bia. So mazal tov, that's yibum. Nasan get. Let's say again, he gives her a get first. Va'asan ma'amar, and then he does ma'amar. I guess he can't really make up his mind, right? So he gives her a get, then he does ma'amar. In that case, Rabosai, tzricha get v'chalitza. Remember, once you've given her a get, that's it. You cannot do yibum anymore. We'll discuss the source for all of these things. But once you give her a get, and then even though you did afterwards ma'amar, you have to give her a get to take care of the ma'amar, and then you have to go out and do chalitza. Nasan get u'ba'al. What happens if he gave her a get, then had relations with her? So Rabosai, remember, like we just said before, once you give her a get, you're out, right? That's it. So if you gave her a get, and then you had relations with her, tzricha get v'chalitza. Fine. Nasan get v'chalatz. Let's say he gave her a get, and then did chalitza. Ein achar chalitza klum. So again, another shkayach. Fine, that's called chalitza. I didn't need the get. But once you gave her the get, and then afterwards did chalitza, that's fine. Right, so we did that case.
But if he can't do Yibam, what is the purpose of mimer?
No purpose. Correct. It's not a question of purpose. It's what he did. He changed his mind. But it's not, you can't do anything about it. Chalatz. So we're going to say, if a person did chalitza, va'asa ma'amar, and then he did ma'amar, nasan get u'ba'al. So we'll say, these are all either or cases. A person first did chalitza, and then afterwards, he either did ma'amar, or he gave a get, or he had relations, or another case, u'ba'al, or he first had relations, and then afterwards, va'asa ma'amar, or he did ma'amar, or he gave a get, or he did chalitza, Ein achar chalitza klum. Shabbosai, again, remember what the Gemara essentially says is, it's the first thing you did is chalitza, anything afterwards is irrelevant. Similarly, if the first thing you did was bia, right, i.e. yibum, anything you do afterwards is what? Is irrelevant. Now this is all, everything we've said until now is true if there's one Yavama and one surviving brother. And the same thing is true if there are multiple wives to one surviving brother. So the Gemara says, Ketzad. Let's analyze some of these cases. Awesome, ma'amar bizu. I'll say this is a case of where what? Of where there's shtei yivamos liyavam echad. Two wives, one surviving brother. Two wives, one surviving brother. So Ketzer, asam ma'amar bazu, ma'amar bazu. If he did ma'amar with this one, meaning wife number one, widow number one, and widow number two, we'll call her Rachel and Leah. So if he did ma'amar with Rachel and ma'amar with Leah, tzrichos shnei gittin. So I'll say, remember, now here's what's interesting. You see, if you did ma'amar with two women, you've got a problem, right? Why do you have a problem? Because Rabbi said, remember, you cannot do Yibum with two women. Remember, we already established last week that what? You're only permitted to build one bayis and not two batim. So look at Rashi. Therefore, what do you have to do in a case like this? You have to divorce. You have to do gittin with both of them. Rashi says, tzichol shnei gittin, kirabanan. Now, both say, this is all reflecting the position. See, this is only according to the Rabbanan. Because according to Rabbi Gamliel, ain ma'amar achar ma'amar. According to Rabbi Gamliel, once you did ma'amar with one woman, any subsequent ma'amar is absolutely irrelevant. So it's going in the sheet of the Rabbanan who hold yesh ma'amar achar ma'amar. So it says Rashi, ki Rabbanan yesh ma'amar achar ma'amar v'yevume lo, you can't do yivum anymore, dehechi le'avet, because what should you do? Ili yevume tarvaihu, if you got to marry both of them, you can't do that. Havalu shnei batim. You can't do yibum with two wives. V'ilachada hol v'chaverta be'agida have a bonus shnei batim. So, both say the problem is once you've established a marital connection to both of these women, it essentially precludes you from doing anything with either of these women. So, again, this is only if you hold yesh ma'amar achar ma'amar like the chachamim, because according to the Rabbi Gamliel, who says ein ma'amar achar ma'amar, once you did ma'amar with the first wife, any subsequent ma'amar is absolutely irrelevant. So, therefore, again, in this case over here, you have to give them both a get to undo both the ma'amars, and what? The chalitza. And I will say, here's an important caveat, chalitza is done with who? Only one of the women, right? You only have to do chalitza with one, and that takes care of it. Next case, ma'amar bazu v'get lazu. If you did ma'amar with Rachel, and you gave a get to Leah, so what's talach, I will say? Tzricha get v'chalitza. So I will say, again, here's the issue. Look at Rashi. Chalitza la'achas meno pater sarasa. See, here's the problem, that once you went ahead and you did chalitza with one, I'm sorry, I read the wrong thing over here. Ma'amar lezu v'get lezu. Look at Rashi. Pasal get shalachrona es harishona. Dikimle below yivne. Utzricha get lema'amaro v'chalitza lezikasa. So we will see that once you go ahead and give a get to one of them, that essentially precludes the other one from doing yibum as well. Even though you did ma'amar with one, the get given to one ultimately undoes the zeka of the other. Look at that Rashi just once more. Ma'amar lezu v'get lezu. Pasal get shel achrona es harishona. The get given to the second wife ultimately again negates the ability of the first wife to do yibum. Dikimle below yivne, because ultimately again now once you give the get, you can no longer marry that woman. Utzricha get, and again I will say we'll see essentially because these are co-wives, by definition what happens to one will affect the other. Therefore, again, back to the Mishnah. Ma'amar bezu get lezu, tzricha get v'chalitza. Requires a get and then chalitza. Again, Abbasi, whenever we talk about chalitza in these cases, chalitza is always for what? Only for one of the women. Only for one of the women. Ma'amar bezu u'ba'al azu. So let's say, again, you did ma'amar with this one and bia with the second one. Then what? Abbasi, so again, the problem is now you're affecting a yibum relationship with two women, which you cannot do. Therefore, again, tzrichos beis gittin. You have to go ahead and give two gittin v'chalitza and chalitza with only one of them. Rashi says ma'amar lezu balazu asr lekaima. You can't go ahead and remain married to either of these women. The hal v'kamais agidabe havalu shnei batin. Because they're both saying all the issue in all of these cases is you are essentially bound to two women and that you cannot do. Remember, we'll say I want to be clear just to clarify. The only issue with two women is when they're coming from the same deceased brother. Remember, we had other cases where let's say a man has two brothers and both brothers died at the same time. Then, of course, you can marry both of their wives because that's two separate batim, two separate homes. The only issue is marrying multiple wives from the same deceased brother. So in this case over here, tzrichos beis gittin, you have to give two gittin v'chalitza, and chalitza again with only one of them. Ma'amar bazu v'chalatz lezu. What happens again if you did ma'amar with one and chalitza with the second one. Harishona tzricha get, the ma'amar wife requires a get. The ma'amar wife requires a get. Obviously, the second wife with whom you did chalitza doesn't require anything, nor does the ma'amar wife require anything additional from them to get. Why? Because the chalitza takes care of her as well. Look at Rashi. Ma'amar b'zu v'chalitz l'zu. Ba'alas ma'amar harishona tzricha get l'ma'amar aso. The chalitza di'idach l'mafka l'ma'amar aso. We'll say it's very interesting. So remember, if you did ma'amar with one and chalitza with the other. So now, remember, once you did chalitza with one, then what does that do? That says you can't do yibum anymore with either one. But the chalitza does not take care of the ma'amar of the first one. So chalitza will essentially say you can't do yibum, but I still need a get to be able to dissolve the ma'amar. Fine. Get lezu v'get lezu. What happens if you give a get to both women, to Rachel and to Leah? So what is the halacha? Tzrichos himenu chalitza. So we'll say that's actually an easier case. All you need in that case is what? I just need a little bit of chalitza. Not a little bit of chalitza. I just need chalitza to go ahead, just a sprinkling of chalitza, to go ahead and dissolve, I'm sorry? A spoonful of chalitza to go ahead and dissolve the rest of the marriage. Get lezu. Get lezu uba'al eszu. Bosai, so now let's say again, I gave a get. I gave a get to Rachel, but yet then there was bia with Leah. Then what? Tzricha get v'chalitza. So Bosai, in that case again, we require a get and chalitza. A get and chalitza. I'm sorry? So a get will be to the one that you did bia with, and chalitza for the other one. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says over here, Rashi says, Ba'al lezu, get lezu, ba'al zu, tzricha get v'chalitza, v'asr l'kaima, you're not permitted to remain married to them, dekama alei b'lo yivne, mishum get derishona. Because we'll say, once you've given a get to the first wife, that essentially indicates that you are not going to do yibum. Therefore what? When you go ahead and you do bia, you have bia with the second one, mishum get derishona, beget l'chudei, lo nafke, mishum de bia psulahi. So Bosa, because the bia ultimately is psula, therefore again the get by itself is not enough and you require chalitza. Fine. Get lezu ma'amar bezu. What happens if you did get with the first one and ma'amar with the second one? So Bosa, in that case again, tzricha get v'chalitza. One requires a get as well as chalitza. Get lezu v'chalat lezu. You gave a get to the first one and chalitza with the second one. Then what? So Bosa, this actually is an easy case because in this case, ain achar chalitza klum. So Bosa, that's an easy one because you did essentially what you did is you gave a get to the first one, chalitza with the second one. So once you had chalitza, you're done. Chalatz v'chalatz. Oh, chalatz v'asamara. So Bosa, look at Rashi over here. Chalatz o'chalatz, o'chalatz v'asamamar, v'nasan get, u'ba'al, v'katani, so actually, let's read that again. Chalatz v'chalatz, o'chalatz v'asamamar, so if he did chalitza then chalitza, or chalitza then ma'amar, or nasan get, u'ba'al, and he or gave a get and relations, o'ba'al, u'ba'al, or again, bias in both, or ba'al v'asam ma'amar, or there was relations and then ma'amar, or nasan get v'chalatz, ein achar chlitza klum, bein yavam echad l'shtei yavamos, bein shnei yavmin liyavam achas. So Rabosai, again, now the Gemara brings down another idea over here, which is l'maisa, again, once you go ahead and you have chalitza, so chalitza effectively ends the relationship in totality, and nothing is necessary after chalitza. So the Gemara says, chalatz v'asam ma'amar. Let's say again, he first did chalitza with woman number one, and then what? And then ma'amar with woman number two. Chalitz v'asam ma'amar, or nasan get ubal, or he gave a get first and then relations, ubal v'asa ma'amar, or nasan get v'chalatz, ein achar chalitza klum, bein betchila, bein be'emtza, bein besof. So Bosan, the Mishnah says that wherever there is chalitza, chalitza ends everything, and it doesn't even matter what. It doesn't even matter when that chalitza takes place. Once chalitza is there, chalitza negates everything. V'habe'ila, bizman shehi betchila in acharei klum. What about bia? So when the bia is the first thing that's done, let's say the bia occurs with the first wife, so then l'maisa, again, ein acharei klum. Then I'll say anything after that bia is insignificant. Because l'maisa, essentially, once yibum is affected, anything else is insignificant. However, be'emtza ubasof, Yesh acharei klom. However, if the bia is not the first thing that is done, then by definition, even subsequent actions could be significant. Rabbi Nechemya Omer, Rabbi Nechemya says, achas bi'ila v'achas chalitza bein betchila bein be'ensa bein mesof ein acharei klom. Rabbi Nechemya argues, and Rabbi Nechemya says, no. Essentially, once you have bia or chalitza, so you know, out of all these things that we're talking about, Rabbi, bia or chalitza are the only things that actually affect something biblical. So once there is bia and chalitza, it doesn't even matter when in the progression of the events bia or chalitza is. Anything that happens after bia or chalitza, by definition, will be halachically irrelevant. Okay, we're obviously going to have to define the scope of all these statements. Says the Gemara, ad kan lo pligi ela beget achar get umamar achar mamar. So also now the Gemara goes back to the First machlokis of Rabbi Gamliel and the Chachamim. And remember again, the case of Rabbi Gamliel and the Chachamim is talking about where Reuven dies, leaves behind Rachel and Leah, and now Shimon does something with both of these women. So now the Gemara is just suggesting over here that the machlokis in Rabbi Gamliel and the Chachamim is only in a case of get achar get or ma'amar achar ma'amar. Aval, get echad. So we'll say, remember again, Aval, let's see what's the Gemara. Aval get echad biyavama, umaamar echad biyavama, mahani. But everyone agrees that what? That if you gave one of them a get and one of them ma'amar, that such a case would work. Now, we'll say, now what does that mean? Look at Rashi. Aval get echad biyavama, umaamar echad biyavama, mahani get biyavama la mekam aleba lo yivne, vishum lo yibem, umaamar biyavama, mahani la tzricha get la ma'amaro. So we'll say, here's what's interesting. The machlokis in Rabbi Gamliel and the Chacham is only what? When you did both actions to both women, get achar get, or ma'amar achar ma'amar. But if you gave a get to one and ma'amar to the second, everyone agrees that that works. Now we'll say, what does it mean it works? It works means that what? That in that case, everyone agreed that would what? That you'd have to give a get to the second woman to undo the ma'amar, and then afterwards, of course, a chalitza. So the Gemara says, my time, why is that? So, excuse me, my time, Amar Rabbanan, get biyavama mahani. So why is it that the Rabbanan say that a get biyavama works? Now, so let's stop over for just a moment. Now, this is a new topic. So what the Gemara is just suggesting over here is that the only machlokes Rabbi Gamliel and the Chachamim, or more appropriately stated, the only time that the Rabbi Gamliel says that one process done to, if you do two processes, one tivama number one tivama number two, that those processes, the second process is ineffective, is only when it's the same process repeated twice. But if it's two different processes, then even Rabbi Gamliel will agree that the second process is effective. Now the Gemara stops there for just a moment, pauses there, and now the Gemara says like this. Now the Gemara says, my taima, amar rabbanan get biyavama mahani. Why is it that the rabbis say that get works by yavama? And we'll say, see, here's what's interesting. The Mishnah and all of our discussions until now presuppose that if you go ahead and you give a get to a woman who is waiting for Yibum, somehow that affects some kind of change. Namely, that what? That you can no longer do Yibum with her. Right? So Gemara says, why? Like, what is get? Really, what does get have to do with Yibum? Get is a totally separate. So why is it that if Reuven dies, leaves behind two wives, and Shimon gives, you know, Rachel a get, that suddenly it means Yibum is off the table? How do we know that get works by these cases? To which the Gemara says, my time, Amar Rabbanan get mahani biyavama, mishum demahani ba'alma. Because, well, so you know why? Because get works in normal situations. Because get works to what? To sever or to dissolve a marital bond. Di amrit lo mahani, because the concern is, if you say that when a man gives his yavama a get, that the get won't do anything. Amri, the people will say, get lahotzia, the chalitza lahotzia, that a get is supposed to dissolve a marriage, and chalitza dissolves a marriage. Umi de get lo mahani, and since get doesn't work in this case, chalitza nomi lo mahani, people will say that chalitza also doesn't do anything, va'asi lemival achar chalitza. And therefore, people will go ahead and come to assume that bia with this woman is permitted after chalitza. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says over here, Rashi says, Mishum de ba'alma mahani. Look at that, Rashi. Mishum de ba'alma mahani. Bechol anashon liskarish. Because get works to dissolve a marital bond, right? That's, again, just get works to dissolve a marital bond. And if you say that get doesn't affect any change in a case of yibum, then what's going to happen? People will assume that if you give her a get afterwards, you could go ahead and marry her. Omri, Rashi says, inish get lahotzi v'chalitzna lahotzi midiget lo mahani le. So I'll say again. So the logic is like this, and again, we're going to see that this is not the strongest argument. But the Gemara says is like this. People recognize that get is a vehicle to dissolve a marital bond. So what's going to happen? If you tell people that get doesn't work over here, so people will assume that in the same way that get doesn't work, then maybe chalitza doesn't work fully either. And therefore what? Maybe even if a man does chalitza, and then let's say he has a change of heart, he decides, you know what? I want to marry my deceased brother's wife. He'll figure, you know what? Chalitza didn't really dissolve the bond, but I could still go ahead and marry her. And I will say, of course, if you marry a woman after you did chalitza, if you marry your sister-in-law after you did chalitza, then what? Then what? That's an erfa. That's usur. Again, what it causes is a machlokes we saw in the last couple. Mamzer, not a mamzer, it's a machlokes, but the ma'is, it's usur. So we're concerned that if get has no effectiveness here, people will assume that also the effectiveness of chalitza is limited. Therefore, we have no choice but to allow get rabbinically to be effective as well. Not fully effective, you still have to chalitza afterwards in order to preserve the effectiveness of chalitza. Similarly, my time amura bonan ma'amar biva mahani. We'll say a similar kasha, which is, why does ma'amar work, right? What are you talking about? What is this ma'amar, we'll say, is affected essentially kiddushin. So where do we get this idea that ma'amar works? Yibum is affected by bia. So why does ma'amar work? So Gemara says, mishum de mahani ba'alma, because since kiddushin works normally to affect the marital bond, di amrit lo mahani, because if you say that ma'amar doesn't work by yibum, omri ma'amar liknos, ubia liknos, people will say, look, ma'amar normally, kiddushin is normally the way that you affect the marriage. So if ma'amar doesn't work over here, maybe bia doesn't fully affect marriage either. Umidah ma'amar l'mahani, bia nami l'mahani, va'asa l'miva achar bia. So basically, here's what the concern is. The concern is that, remember, the assumption is most people aren't as familiar with yibum as they are with what? Normative marriage. And therefore, if people would see that the mechanisms that normally affect or dissolve normative marriage do not work by yibum, there's a concern that they will think that the mechanisms of yibum are not fully effective either. So for example, let's work backwards. So therefore the Gemara is afraid that if kiddushin doesn't work by yibum, so people will assume that the same way that ma'amar isn't really effective by yibum, so to bia doesn't affect a full marriage either. And therefore what? If I have bia with wife number one, widow number one, and then on the side, you know what? She's not my type. Then what? I'll go ahead and I'll try it out with wife number two. Now, of course, I will say that's biblically prohibited. You can't do that. So therefore, in order to show that bia is fully kona, so we allow this concept of ma'amar as well. Because that reinforces in people in the same way that ma'amar works over here, even just in a quasi state, certainly bia works. Same thing over here by dissolution of the union. If we tell people that there's no get, people would say, well, if get doesn't work here, then maybe chalitza doesn't fully dissolve the union either. Therefore, we allow for get to exist within the yibum construct, to say that just like get is here, although it doesn't fully dissolve the union, so too chalitza also works as well. All right, well, so you know what, we'll stop over here. We'll pick up with this at the end. All right, we'll pick up tomorrow. All right, we're going to start regular time, 6 o'clock. 5:45.
You had ma'amar with one, and you gave her a get, and then you went and did chalitza with the second one.
Right.
That works for everybody?
That works fine, because you've done chalitza. Once chalitza's been done...
But it didn't matter which one you did.
Correct. We would probably, in an ideal sense, we would tell him...